Okay, hello there, everybody. My name is Liz Mogford, and I'm a professor at Western Washington University, and I have a background in global health and also do a lot of work that's U.S.-based on with an organization called Just Health Action. So I do work in advocacy on health equity. And my co-author, Abhijit Das, is in India right now, so I apologize that he's not able to make it here. And I have a pretty big caveat. I'm standing up here as a white American woman talking about violence against women in India, and I'm very aware of the ironies embedded in that relationship, and I just want to put out there that I'm not one of these people who thinks, oh, your women are oppressed, but ours are awesome, and I recognize that patriarchy is a global problem and that it exists in my own institution and in my own department and in my own household, and so I just want to let you know that I'm working very much with a group of people from different parts of Uttar Pradesh, India, and all of the way that I'm talking about violence against women and men's participation in this is coming from these organizations that are Indian-based organizations that have developed all of the questions, the frameworks, the ideologies, the activism, and the academia around how this is being discussed. And so I also want to acknowledge the co-authors in this project. And I'll be telling you about MAFSA, but there's other organizations that have been really involved in this research. And I was invited to be, for this particular project, the statistician. So contextually, violence against women is a global health issue. The United Nations defines it as any act of gender-based violence that results in or is likely to result in physical, sexual, or psychological harm or suffering to women. And there's lots of different forms of violence against women, from keeping kids out of school, girls out of school, to sex-selective abortions. But domestic abuse is the most common form. And violence is common in Uttar Pradesh, India, which is the context that we're talking about. So Uttar Pradesh is a state in northern India that borders Nepal. There are almost 200 million people living there, so that's two-thirds of the size of the United States in terms of population, but the state is about as big as Oregon state. And this is the fifth largest subnational region in the world. It's the fifth largest subnational region in the world, so and also the largest state in India for sure. 81% of the state is rural. As I mentioned, violence is common in Uttar Pradesh, India, and this is an article clipping from when I was there in 2005 working with this organization, SIOG, and one of the things they do is just cut out every single day in the newspapers, and most of them were in Hindi, but this one happens to be in English, just keeping a collection of all of the records of that were being published in the media around violence. And here's some of the official crime reports from the year 2006. And keep in mind, these are gross underestimates of violence, something that's actually getting reported by the police as a dowry death or a case of cruelty by the husband against the wife is rare compared to a lot of other instances of, for example, suicides that are potentially murders. Another indicator of patriarchy in society is the proportion of women to men. So usually, because women outlive men, there's more than 1,000 women for every 1,000 men, and in Uttar Pradesh, the number is 899. Female literacy is 50%. And so that's a little bit of context. In the year 2000, a bunch of feminist organizations, Indian organizations, put on a big campaign called Stop Tolerating Violence. And at that time, men who were participating came in and talked about how instead of having yet another shelter and another form of supporting women once they've been beaten, we need to recognize as men that we're perpetrating the violence, and so how about working as men to stop the violence? And so they developed a grassroots network that was volunteer and largely self-directed and had these objectives that the members of MAFSA will neither commit violence nor be silent about it. And then they really focused a lot on evaluating masculinity and developing new role models for men, recognizing that violence is just an outcropping of all of the general patriarchy and subordination. And so they work from a gender equity framework. And today there's over 700 activists working in over 600 villages across Uttar Pradesh. So again, the philosophy of MAFSA is that if you don't address gender inequality and just the general notion that men are superior to women, then you're not going to ever get rid of violence against women. So some of the main activities that MassVault does are to investigate violence cases that they see in the newspaper or hear about to make sure that they're actually being prosecuted, to do a lot of trainings on gender and masculinity, lots of different community outreach and educational events. In 2007, I was in India with an organization to do an evaluation of MassVault to just see, well, what's going on with this? It's kind of a new thing in this part of India to do have a feminist men's group in a rural location. And so we selected 9 of the sort of best case MassVault participants and did interviews of a man, his wife or a female in his household, and his colleague to see how they perceived that, whether or not they've changed as a result of MassVault and what those changes were. And out of that qualitative research came 6 domains of change. And these are those domains. The way that people even perceive what is violence, very much a change in the relationship with their wife and in their households, a new management of conflict and anger, broader emotional range of expression. And then they talked a lot about the leadership and the mentoring and the interventions. And I have just a couple of quotes to exemplify this. I used to think that things like beating up your wife or rape constitute violence, but now I think that doing something without a wife's permission or consent is a kind of violence. If a woman wants to say something and a man stops her from expressing herself, even that will count as violence. And here's an example of a man who was interviewed. Earlier, I had this feeling that if my wife went out of the house, I would lose face in the community. Now I know that her going out gives me prestige. And that same gentleman's wife was interviewed separately and had no idea what questions had been asked of him. And she said the interviewer was a man. For example, today he has left me alone to sit and talk with you. This was not there earlier. I have the freedom to go wherever I want to go. I can freely talk to anybody. By the way, the pictures do not correspond to the individuals. These are just different photos. So the motivation for the current study, which is not going to take me very long to go through, was to, after having done this case study of the 9 participants and the 27 in-depth interviews, to move beyond that and look today in 2000, and this was 2009, but we've now published it, to look at whether or not across MassVault there are similar kinds of gender progressive attitudes and behaviors. And we don't have longitudinal data, so we can't really measure change, but at least being able to compare levels of gender progressiveness as defined by the people who developed the survey, the groups I mentioned earlier, across different groups. And they used the 6 domains of change to develop the survey, and these were the main questions. The first is, how progressive are the MassVault members? And then, to me, this is a really interesting aspect of it, is there a diffusion effect of progressiveness? So compared to the MassVault activists, are men who attended a MassVault event, like an education event, but aren't members, are they more progressive than other people? And then what about men who live in a city where there's MassVault participating, but they've never been to an event, compared to people who are in a district with no MassVault whatsoever? So we were kind of interested in, how did social change happen? So our sample consisted of MassVault members. Groups 2 and 3 were what we called high and low influence. So the high was they attended an event but aren't a member, and the low is they live in the town but they didn't attend an event, and then the control group. And we had 93 different questions and developed 8 different progressive attitude scales. So these were the 8 dependent variables, and they related to a bunch of ways that people consider gender progressiveness. And I'm going through this quickly because I'm short on time, but just an example from these 8 scales. Each one has many, many questions involved, and here's just 10 questions out of the gender role scale. So questions such as, a woman's role is the household and a man's is to earn money. Women should tolerate violence to keep the family reputation. And then the percentage of people who disagreed with that statement would be more progressive. And then you add it into a scale. So we had all of these different, out of those 93 questions, all these different scales. And I'm just showing you a difference of means here. Read the take-home message on top, because I know tables are a pain to read up on the board like this. But the activist group, the blue, had the most progressive gender response across all of the 8 domains, followed by the influenced group. And here we combined the influenced high and low together. I separated them out in a second. Followed by the control. So what we're noticing here is that these numbers are higher and get lower. And literally across every single domain, that was the pattern, and they were all statistically significant. So that was cool, and we're like, wow. However, we recognize that MassVault men are very much self-selected. This is something we learned in the earlier study. Not only are they already more gender progressive to even want to join this organization in the first place, but they also are higher SES. So we thought we obviously need to control for at least those things that we can control for. So we did a multiple regression analysis, again, of the eight, and I'm only showing you two of the dependent variables, but of the eight different gender role scales. And what we found, and here we split up the high influence, they attended an activity, and the low, and we controlled for all these different factors and found the exact same finding, which was that compared to the control group, which was our reference category, that is people with no exposure to math class ever, the members had the most progressive attitudes across every category, followed by those people who had attended an event but weren't a member, followed by people who lived in a town, over the people who didn't live in an area. So you really do see in the results here this sort of diffusion effect. And what does that say again? In terms of gender progressiveness, we saw low to high. And interestingly to me, this part here, the non-MAFSA men living in a region with MAFSA activities had more progressive attitudes than the control group. So some discussion points: compared to other men, MAFSA members had more gender progressive behaviors, which was not very surprising to us. But also this diffusion effect may be operating in environments where MAFSA is active. So again, there's a couple of caveats or limitations. One is that we had no way of knowing whether or not the answers that people were giving to these questions reflect their actual attitudes and behaviors. A lot of times you know kind of the politically correct response. However, we thought even if that's the case, the fact that you see this pattern, you have to start with at least knowing what you're supposed to think according to this. Again, I'm speaking as a person who's representing the viewpoints of these activist groups in India. And so they believe that even if that's the case, that's better than nothing. Additionally, so we do need longitudinal studies to see whether or not people change over time from a before and after kind of thing. Another thing that we stood out was that even though the MAFSA members were more progressive than non-MAFSA members, and in some of the individual questions, we saw that there were still pretty non-progressive levels of answers. So for example, 60% of the men were against homosexual relationships. 40% said that women are often responsible for rape. There was pretty low participation in household work by men. So there's still a lot of room for work. But the conclusions are Uttar Pradesh is a place that's in transition. There are self-selected change makers, and those men have a broader societal impact that is really exciting when you think about gender equity and how do we move beyond the choir. And that's it. Thank you very much.